Today's podcast is brought to you by Chikara Wrestle Factory, 4711 Wingate Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they specialize in lucha libre, porosu, European, British, and German styles, mixed martial arts, and American pro wrestling styles, all in their curriculum at the Wrestle Factory, where they strive to create the most well-rounded professional wrestlers active today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We have a whole lot of things to get to in this episode. As we speak, there are tapings taking place at Full Sail University for NXT that will take them through March leading up to the next NXT TakeOver event. I want to have enough time to get to all those things. I want to start first, though, with a contest that we're going to be running here on the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We have a lot of loyal listeners, a lot of people who come back for every episode, some people who haven't hit that subscribe button, and I really want to make sure that happens for you, but I also want to give something back, okay? Here's the deal. Every month, I'm going to be looking at those people who subscribe. I need you to hit a subscribe for me, and then I have a contest for you. I'm going to be selecting one person every month. They're going to get a one-on-one consultation. If anybody who doesn't know much about what Fro Life Planning does for people, we look to bring higher education to people who don't necessarily know how to get started with college or a university, and we want to make sure we make that happen for people. So one of the ways we do that is we sit down with you, we consult with you, and we try to figure out what would be best for you. And starting next month, every month thereafter, I'm going to be giving a free 30-minute one-on-one consultation to whoever is our lucky winner each month, so we can help plan your path to higher education. So every month, what I need you to do, if you want to enter this contest, there's no purchase necessary, as you can probably guess. Follow a few simple steps. One, go to the Fro Wrestling Podcast iTunes page. It'll probably have you launch your iTunes, you know, no big deal. Launch your iTunes, click the button, click the subscribe on iTunes. When you're done subscribing on iTunes, click the ratings and reviews, followed by clicking on the write a review tab. I really need people to give me reviews on iTunes so I can get, you know, some positive feedback, some constructive criticism, and make this show what you want it to be. So in that ratings and reviews, by all means, give us a review there. When you're done writing your review, and please make it an honest review, finally, I need you to shoot over to our website at frolifeplanning.com/contest, and you can enter your email address, which will then match up with all the other things and give you one chance entered to try to get that free consultation so I can try to help you find your way to higher education. Let's move on today and let's get started with the wrestling news of the day. E! Wrestling News is reporting that Hulk Hogan is planning to make a return to WWE, but that it is not going to happen anytime soon. They feel that it is still too volatile right now with all the drama that came out with him and his comments he made and whatnot in the lawsuit over his tape, that they don't want to bring him back right now. They want that to dissipate a little bit more. So for those people who are expecting Hogan to come back at WrestleMania, probably not going to happen. Probably going to be a little while longer. On the flip side, coming back to WrestleMania, is being reported by various outlets, including the Wrestling Observer, that they are fully expecting on Monday night to have a sit-down interview with Seth Rollins where he will announce that he will be ready to return for WrestleMania to take on Triple H or whoever else they think they're going to book him with. Obviously, we all have expected that all along. We've been hoping that he was going to be well enough to go, and it looks like that is the situation. He will be ready to go. Other news of the day, Eric Bischoff had a great post on his podcast where he spoke about Scott Hall, and I felt like this was a really genuine interview where he talked about how, and for anybody who ever wondered why Scott Hall, such an amazing, talented performer, never got a chance to hold the WCW championship, Eric Bischoff's explanation was he didn't need a title. You know, if you think about it, it's almost like the way The Undertaker was for quite a long period of time there when he had his streak. You didn't need to put the world championship on The Undertaker to sell matches and to put people in seats. Same thing with Scott Hall is what he's implying here. The only issue I take with that is that Scott Hall, for as amazing a talent as he was, and as highly as Eric Bischoff speaks about him, when you're putting the championship on people like David Arquette and Vince Russo, you darn sure should have put it on Scott Hall at least once, just so he could have had the accolade on his resume. That WCW championship bounced around like a ping pong ball for the better part of 2000, 2001, 1999 actually included, and everybody in the world seemed to hold the championship, but never Scott Hall. And Scott Hall really, if there's anybody who was a part of the success of WCW who didn't get enough out of it, enough return on their personal resume, it's Scott Hall. If you think about it, Hogan obviously became bigger than he already had become in WWF. And then you had Kevin Nash, who thoroughly launched his career even after being so successful as Diesel, because he got multiple world title reigns in WCW as well. Scott Hall, in the meantime, was U.S. champion a few times, tag team champion several times, but never got the world championship. And that's really a shame. But hindsight's 2020. We could always fantasy book our way into how Hall should have won the championship, but we're going to move on. Heidi Lovelace, who was an independent talent who went to NXT, has had her name changed. At the tapings tonight, they are going to start calling her Ruby Riott. So I've never understood. I mean, I guess from a business sense, Vince McMahon likes to own intellectual property for everyone he has on his roster. And I get that to a degree. But at some point, when someone builds up a really great reputation on the indies, you really don't need to change their name. He didn't change Bobby Roode. He didn't change Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles. You know, I didn't understand why he had to change Finn Balor, to be perfectly honest with you. He could have been Prince Devitt and been just fine. Just saying. But this is another case where an established independent star had her name changed. Now she'll be Ruby Riott. On the Gorilla Position podcast, not that I always want to hype up all the competing podcasts, but the Gorilla Position podcast is pretty cool. And they did an interview with Wolfgang. And one of the things that I really took from this podcast is he really put over Tyler Bate as being an inspiration to anyone who wants to get into professional wrestling. Tyler Bate's 19 years old. He's the first and only so far WWE UK champion. To get this kind of a compliment from Wolfgang is really such a showing of respect, and I really appreciated hearing that from Wolfgang. He was very sincere in how he said it, and if you get a chance, pop onto their podcast, listen to that. They do a good job of grabbing some of the talents you don't necessarily know as well here in the States, and getting interviews that are high quality from them. In other news, Zack Sabre Jr. is on his way to New Japan Pro Wrestling. We had reported that that was supposed to happen. Now we have an official date. March 6th will be New Japan's 45th anniversary show, and Zack Sabre Jr. will be there to take on Katsuyori Shibata, which, if you've never seen Shibata wrestle, you're missing out. If you've never seen Jack Sabre Jr. wrestle, you're missing out. These two together is going to be poetry in motion. It's going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. On the topic of New Japan Pro Wrestling, as I noted in a previous podcast, this week was the big Toji Makabe 20th anniversary show. It's such an awesome thing for New Japan to take the time to honor this legend of their ring with an anniversary show. And at the show, there was some notable matches. I know that as far as New Japan's concerned, there may have been a different order of their importance, but I'm going to read them off from the order that I think they really were impactful. Kazuchika Okada teamed up with Yoshihashi Hiroki Goto, and they defeated Hiroshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Manabu Nakanishi. If you don't know any of these names, you need to start turning into Access Television, because Kazuchika Okada is about as amazing a wrestler has ever graced a ring. Very physical, very just high impact, every move that he executes. And in this match, the interesting thing is quite a few times Nakanishi had him in trouble. He had him set up for a victory, and somehow Okada would get out of it every time, finishing the match with, he does this killer drop kick and then into a rainmaker, which is a gripping spinning clothesline move. If you haven't seen him hit it, it's pretty impressive the way he hits it and the way wrestlers sell the move for him. Please check out Access TV and watch some of these matches if you haven't seen these people wrestle. Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Minoru Suzuki, Tai Chi, and Takahashi Iizuka were teamed up. They went against Katsuhori Shibata, Tiger Mask, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Yuji Nagata. They conquered their team. This is Suzuki Gun, who is one of the big factions in New Japan right now, just came back in January and have made a huge impact. Minoru Suzuki, for people who know something about mixed martial arts, was a huge mixed martial artist in the earlier days of mixed martial arts, actually started promotions of his own, and he's also been a pro wrestler for several years. And he's a huge influential guy in Japan, and he is an incredible talent, as is the rest of the Suzuki Gun faction. In the main event, Tony Makabe, his anniversary show, teamed up with Hanma to defeat Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii. You know, again, such a high-quality match. These guys are as amazing a talent as anything you'll see on WWE programming. I know Vince McMahon would not want to hear that, and he certainly wouldn't agree with you, but the talent for actual wrestling, professional wrestling in New Japan is so far superior to most of what you see on WWE programming, except potentially for the cruiserweights. The cruiserweights can put on a heck of a show, except there are a little bit too many high spots. In Japan, you get some real great, strong style, you know, throwback kind of wrestling. And it's for wrestling purists, people who still like that kind of stuff, it's something you should definitely check out. One of the big stories this week was following Raw when The Rock came out and he did the phone call to CM Punk. That has gotten a ton of press. And the reality is The Rock came out and he gave his reaction. And he tweeted to everybody. I'm going to give you a quote right from his Twitter feed. He says, "I work off instinct. Always listen to the people and try to give them something special. Huge positive feedback from the WWE universe. Fun night." You got to love that because The Rock, look, let's face it. The guy doesn't have to go to WWE for a paycheck. He wasn't there for that in the first place. He's there to film a movie. It just so happens that it makes a whole lot of sense for him to be there when they're filming in the actual city where Paige was originally introduced, since this movie's going to be based on her career. And if Vince McMahon and Triple H can't understand why he tried to calm the crowd down and get rid of the CM Punk chants, then I'm sorry. That's bad business to go, you know, giving heat to The Rock when all he's doing is trying to create a better product. You know, this CM Punk thing is not going to die anytime soon. Wrestling fans have a long memory, and CM Punk was very influential for an extended period of time. WWE needs to do everything they can to, instead of pushing Punk away, they need to embrace CM Punk, even if they never do business again. This is one of the greatest talents to ever grace a WWE ring, and to treat him like he's nothing and he doesn't have any, you know, history with the company and you never want to mention him is absolutely absurd. That's like 1980s don't break Keith fade mentality, and it's not something that WWE needs to engage in anymore. We have smart marks out there now. We have people who understand what's going on behind the scenes, so to act like he doesn't exist is just ridiculous. Ring Rust Radio has an interview up with Kurt Angle where there are two things I took from it. One, his immense amount of respect he seems to have for Goldberg, which I didn't fully expect, but he really is impressed with his return at the age of 50 and looks at that as a blueprint for his ability to come back. And I really love what he said about Brock Lesnar, stating that he thinks he's the greatest athlete he's ever stepped in the ring with, citing Brock's career both in NCAA wrestling, in UFC. He almost made it in the NFL. He's talked about how Brock never played a football game, yet he was that close to getting into the Minnesota Vikings, and that they wanted him to go to NFL Europe before he would play for the regular team, and he actually thought he'd have been a pro bowler if he made it to the pros, just because of his sheer athleticism. So, very cool interview for Kurt Angle. Peyton Royce, giving you some quick feedback from the NXT tapings tonight. Peyton Royce is the new number one contender to Asuka. She won her triple threat match tonight. They hyped this matchup heavily. I don't know how any one female wrestler beats Asuka after she's defeated so many other people. I almost felt like when they had the match at TakeOver San Antonio that it was a perfect way to get the belt off of Asuka by having these other wrestlers in the ring, and then somebody else could have gotten pinned instead of Asuka. She still would have remained looking strong, but you could have transitioned the belt off of her and then just kept her out of the title picture for her until she gets caught up to the main roster. That didn't happen. Now we'll see what Peyton Royce can do and how they book that. Other feedback from the tapings tonight. Pete Dunne gets a match with Mark Andrews. He wins after the bitter end. I'm really excited to see that they're bringing these UK talents in so much, but if it's the United Kingdom Championship and you want to say almost like a United Kingdom division, then shouldn't they be wrestling in the United Kingdom? I'm just saying. Seems like it makes sense. Bobby Roode came out and had a match with No Way Jose where he defeats No Way Jose. At the end of the match, he goes for, you know, the cheap shot and starts taking down No Way Jose and attacking him after the match is over, which prompts Cassius Ohno to come out for the save, and he throws out his challenge for the NXT Championship. For those people who were paying attention to the booking leading into tonight's tapings, we already knew that there was going to be a match between Bobby Roode and Cassius Ohno that'll be taped tonight. We know that Shinsuke Nakamura will be there to take on TJ Perkins. We know that there'll be some kind of special appearance by Finn Balor. Unfortunately, at the time that I'm recording this podcast, those particular things have not happened yet. What has happened? Billy Kay has been injured. or at least that's what it looks like. She took Ember Moon's finishing move, and she was down for the count. Took a little while before the medical staff could get her on her feet. She was walking on her own, but holding her neck, and it was reported by WrestleZone.com that she was holding her neck and crying out of pain. So hopefully she's okay, but it looks like there could be an injury there. And we also got the revelation that at the next TakeOver event, the Tag Team Championship scene should be very exciting, because there will be a triple threat match for the NXT Tag Team Championship between DIY, The Revival, and the Authors of Pain. That should be amazing. The other thing coming out of tonight's taping so far, Elias Sampson lost a Loser Leaves NXT match to Cassius Ohno. So, and Ohno ends up destroying his guitar at the end of the match and everything like that. And this, I'm hoping, is a lead in for Elias Sampson to come to the main roster. I don't know if maybe they want to wait until after WrestleMania for him to develop his character just a little bit, get just the right storyline booked, and then bring him in after Mania. Or if this is the end of Elias Sampson. We'll have to wait and see. Switching gears just a little bit, we're going to shift over to Impact Wrestling. Jeff Jarrett had a huge bit of news come out that, one, yes, he confirms that they have been having meetings with ITV over in Europe to bring distribution of Impact Wrestling there. But for me, one of the more interesting tidbits coming out of his interview is that there will be in the future some sort of relationship between the GFW, the Global Force Wrestling product, and Impact Wrestling. Anybody who thought this wasn't going to happen at some point has to be crazy, because that's his baby. GFW, if it folds right now, he would look like it was a colossal failure. He needs this to be a success. So I fully expected there to be some crossover. And maybe this has something to do with why they've been looking at Magnus and bringing him in. He's the GFW champion. It could lead to a unification thing if Jarrett does want to fold the company. Or it could lead to a whole lot of other things. We'll have to wait and see. Pro Wrestling Sheets is reporting that TNA management is very upset with Josh Matthews. For anybody who's been following this over the last week or two, Josh Matthews claimed to be the greatest wrestling announcer of all time. There was some back and forth with he and various other announcers, David Penzer and people like that, and it's gotten ugly to the point that he actually put a comment out about telling them to shoot themselves. And there were people responding to that about, like, this is a representative of your company. How can you possibly post a tweet like that? Now, the tweet was taken down, but it's too little too late. There are too many websites now that grab pictures and screenshots of your Twitter feeds so that you can't get rid of this stuff. Once you post it, it's there forever. And this was a really poor decision on Josh Matthews' part to go put that out there. I understand trying to promote yourself, but that's one thing. Going out and being overly aggressive and alienating a segment of your audience, not a good idea. The cool announcement, the Ring of Honor Festival of Honor is going to be on April 1st from 2 to 5:30 p.m. and is the one that is going to be headlined by the Young Bucks and the Hardys. They've announced a few other special attractions for that show. Dalton Castle is going to challenge for the Ring of Honor World Championship. There's going to be a host of talents from New Japan Pro Wrestling and CMLL down in Mexico who are going to be at the show. You're going to get to meet all different people. If you go to the festival, you get to hang out with people like the Ring of Honor Champion, whoever it is at that time, the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, Cody should be there, Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, Christopher Daniels, Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, they're all going to be there. If you are a fan of CMLL or New Japan, they have already announced that Jushin Thunder Liger will be there, who would be amazing to meet with. The man is an absolute legend and has had such staying power. And then Yoshihashi from New Japan will be there as well, Dragon Lee, and CMLL has a star called Volador Jr. who's going to be there. So if you are a huge Ring of Honor fan, and if you're in that area, by all means, check out the Festival of Honor. It's going to conclude with a very, very big deal. Ring of Honor has been really pushing the women stars, and they're going to have a Women of Honor event. So they're going to have people like Kelly Klein, Mandy Leone, and stuff like that. They're going to be competing against other talents from other promotions like CMLL, and they're going to establish a Women of Honor battle that they're going to have. Should be very exciting to see the ladies get the one of the main spots on the show. So we'll have to keep our eyes out and see when they announce more details for that, but it's already shaping up to be an amazing show. In some other side news from some of the independents, former WWE star Paul Burchill, who, if you don't remember Paul Burchill, this is the guy who was paired up with Katie Lee Burchill. She became Winter in TNA. He had such a good look. If you're a video game fan and you played the Xbox 360, he was in SmackDown versus Raw, I want to say 2005-ish. and it was Paul and Katie Lee Burchill, and they were going to run a storyline where these brother and sister kind of had a thing for each other, which was going to be very awkward and very uncomfortable, but it's very WWE in the way they would present it. And for some reason, they soured on the idea, and they soured on both stars. And he stopped wrestling in 2015, and this is the first time he's been back in the ring, was the other day for AIW in Cleveland, Ohio. And now he's taking bookings, and I'm hoping that he still has the same energy and charisma and skill set that he had when he was in WWE, because in my personal opinion, they missed the boat on this talent, because he really is a phenomenal aerial wrestler. He had just a real interesting moveset. Ryback was in the news talking about how he had heat with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman at the time, when he, if you remember, he was paired up with Ryback, and there was a whole thing where he was also paired up with CM Punk at the same time. And the problem with that was is that he claims that Paul Heyman and Punk were such good friends that it really left no time for Paul to work with him on his storylines, what he was going to do and go over things. You know, Paul Heyman is a fantastic mind, and you can see where in this interview, and it's been posted on various outlets, doesn't matter which one you go to, Cage Side Seats, you can go to the Bleacher Report, you can go to WrestleZone, you can go to any of them and hear the same comments where Ryback is very upset that he felt like Paul Heyman was kind of leaving him out there to dry. He also talks about really being frustrated, and I'm not going to drop the vulgarity in the language because I know I have a lot of young listeners, but Ryback was full on cursing out Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn for the way they treated Tyson Kidd. In his interview, he talks about how, you know, they should be setting up Tyson Kidd for the rest of his life. And the kid still does all kinds of things for WWE, whether it's promotion or talking to talents or, you know, just motivating people. And that the kid is so passionate about the sport of wrestling and the business of sports entertainment. And that you could tell, like, this is a kid who will never wrestle again because of the neck injury he took at the hands of Samoa Joe pulling off a muscle buster went wrong. And at the end of the day, yes, it's great that Natalya has herself probably financially set due to her time in WWE. And Kid, I'm sure, made a good chunk of money while he was there, but he was such a great talent who will never get to perform again. And I get what Ryback's saying. Some of these people get hurt as quote-unquote independent contractors, and then sometimes WWE just leaves them out to dry. And it's such a bad business model, because it opens you up to scrutiny. And when you're a publicly traded company, you shouldn't be opening yourself up to scrutiny like that. And someone like Ryback is the wrong guy to get out in the public eye talking about the dirty business of the WWE. We're going to switch to our This Day in Pro Wrestling History segment. There's a few things to get to. First off, 33 years ago today, Jumbo Tsuruta, Tommy Jumbo Tsuruta, who unfortunately passed away at a very young age, took the AWA World Championship from a legendary AWA champion, Nick Bockwinkle. This was over in Japan. They were wrestling at the time. And this was, in my opinion, this was their way of transitioning the title from Bockwinkle to eventually Rick Martel. For those who remember back in the early to mid-80s, Rick Martel was really over. He had cross-promotional matches with Ric Flair, with Bob Backlund. There was even some interviews. If you go on YouTube, you can find an interview where all three of the world champions, Bob Backlund from the WWF, Ric Flair from the NWA, and Rick Martel from the AWA, talk about the quality of their championships and things like that. So feel free to check that out. But 33 years ago today, Jumbo Tsuruta defeats Nick Bockwinkle. 29 years ago today, a match that many people don't even realize happened in the AWA also. It's kind of like an AWA theme for the moment. The Rockers, the Midnight Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty defeat the Rock and Roll Express, the ones going into the Hall of Fame, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, for the AWA Tag Team Championship. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but the Rock and Roll Express are really the inspiration for the Rockers. When the Rockers go to the AWA, it started out with Marty Jannetty and then Shawn Michaels joined him later on. When that happened, Vern Gagne wanted to recreate the Rock and Roll Express in his own promotion, and that's what created the Midnight Rockers. So, cool match to see the inspiration and the youth going at it. 24 years ago today, the Mega Maniacs are formed on Monday Night Raw when Hulk Hogan returns for the first time since the Psycho Sid match at Mania, WrestleMania 8, and he announces he's going to team with Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and Jimmy Hart's going to be the manager. So that was like one of the worst runs of Hogan's career. He left shortly after because of some steroid controversy, but at the end of the day, still a cool day in wrestling history. 2 years ago today, don't forget, that was when Roman Reigns beat Daniel Bryan for the shot at WrestleMania for the world title. Nobody liked that happening. And 1 year ago today, Shane McMahon made his triumphant return to Raw to that huge, huge smattering of cheers, which was very cool. your look back match for today's episode. This is podcast episode 27. I got to try to come up with all these different matches you people may or may not have seen. And today I got one that is just, it's kind of like a bizarre match, but it's one worth watching. Stan Hansen, Stan the Lariat Hansen, who was a brutal physical talent, didn't really establish himself in the WWF very long or NWA for very long. Sporadic appearances here and there, a lot more in Japan. But this particular match is in World Wrestling Council, WWC, down in Puerto Rico. Stan Hansen versus The Missing Link. And if you look those up, The Missing Link was a guy by the name of Dewey Robertson. He passed away also at a relatively young age. But this guy was bizarre, with a green face paint around his whole face, blacked out eyes. He had like a funky haircut where he had a tuft of hair in the front and like big hair in the back and like a bald spot in the middle. It was very strange. And these two going at it. You've got somebody, you know, a Hall of Famer against this just crazy guy. And the really cool thing is the referee is Bill Alfonso. He's so young in this video. So go check that out. The fantasy booking time for this, because I got some people who really liked that in the last episode. We're looking at the Battle of the Big Men. So here's your 8-man single elimination tournament. Tell me who your winner is and who do they beat in the final in your comments on YouTube. King Kong Bundy, Andre the Giant, the One Man Gang, Earthquake, The Big Show, Mark Henry, Yokozuna, and Vader. Who is in your finals at the end of your tournament? You can configure it whatever way you want. And who wins that tournament? And I'm telling you right now, no, I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to reconsider that. I was going to give you my final two and my winner, but I'm going to hold off on that because I think it may be controversial. I'm going to wait to see what you guys have to say, and we'll address that in the next episode. By all means, as always, please give us a review. Give us a subscribe. There's a button right on your YouTube page. Please click it. If you're on one of the other servers, give us the same thing. We need to have that so we can grow our subscriber base, so we can move ourselves up the search lists and really grow this podcast, which really, it's an organic feeling thing for me. You guys have been just the driving force behind this, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But for now, that's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with me in episode 28. We'll review all the happenings, the Raw, the SmackDown, if we get to that point, projections for Mania, and we'll look at Fastlane, all that stuff. As always, special thanks go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all of our music and sound effects used throughout today's show. The podcast was brought to you by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games and bring some fun and excitement back to family game night by going to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople and pick up your copy today. And AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for all the servicing of your classic ski pole, pinball, and arcade needs. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. We encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com to learn more about what we can do for you. Remember, Fro Life Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today, and we look forward to discussing more of the current events, the rumors, the news of the day on our next show.